Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Church. We exist to honor God through reaching our city and touching the world with the amazing love of Jesus Christ. Now, let's join Pastor Josh Shelton for this life-changing message.
My message today, I'm going to title it One, okay? And this has multiple meanings, and the first of those meanings is that we're supposed to be one. We're supposed to be in unity with each other. We're supposed to be in unity with God and with Christ. And that's the first part of my message. And then the second part, we're supposed to be one, meaning we're supposed to be whole. And the only way really that we can stand in unity is if I'm whole, if I'm a whole person to start with. Otherwise, what have I to give to strengthen the body if I'm not whole myself? So, go with me to John 17. I'm going to start in verse 20 through 26. Wonderful. So this scripture, actually, in verse 1, it's where Jesus starts praying, and he prays, first of all, for himself, then for his disciples, and then those that are going to come after his time. And so I'm going to start here in John 17, 20. It says, I did not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, through the word of the disciples, those kind of coming down through those generations, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. So first of all, he says, God, I hope that they're one. They're unified and one as a people, just like we are together. Now, look at me. I hope and strive to be as one with you, with Matt, my dad, with you guys there, as God is with his son, Jesus Christ. And he's asking that. He's asking the Father. He says, God, please help them to be one. And not just one, but just like we are. And I can't even imagine how close that would be. Can you imagine if we were that close, if we were that unified as a people, what would happen? That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Because as we're one, as we're unified, then, he's saying, in order for the world to know, in order for the world to know, they need to be one. They need to be one. And the glory which you gave me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. Now, he didn't just, look, this is his prayer. He's going to the cross soon. He's getting ready to be arrested, and he could have prayed so many different things. You know, think about this. It's Jesus, and of course he knows the things that are going to happen, but he's sitting there in prayer. He's got this time to ask God just different things, and I don't know. I would have asked, you know, God, let this time going forth from now be painless. I pray that it would get over quick, or you know what, that I wouldn't have to have this happen at all, which he did. He said, please take this from me if you can, but if it's your will, you know what, I'll go ahead and do it because your will be done, not mine. But there's so many things that he could pray, but as he was praying right before he went to die on the cross, he was praying that we could be one, that we can be unified as a people, as his people, as God's people. It says, I am in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. As God is in Jesus and Jesus is in us, we're made one. He just asked, he asked God, he said, God, please allow them to be one as we are one. Please, please. So that's, If you catch this with me, he's stressing a point here. This time right before he goes to the cross. Please let them be one. He prayed for unity of the church. I think it's funny. I'm not going to go back, but it's not necessarily funny, this prayer that he prayed, but in the prayer before, he prayed for unity in the disciples, the ones that were there even with him. And if you think about it, that was even a stretch for them to be unified. Because just before that, you know, some of them were arguing about who was going to sit on the right hand of Jesus, and they were also arguing about who was going to be greatest. There's so many arguments going on just in the disciples' lives, the ones that were there with Jesus. They were there with him. And there was dissension. So he prayed, first of all, for them. He's like, God, please, please, come on, like, my disciples, please help them to be one. Because I even see already, I'm not even gone yet, and they're having trouble with that. So come on, just help them out, please, God. But that wasn't all. He moved beyond his disciples. He moved beyond that point. Because, I mean, he knew that they needed help, but he knew going on past that we would need help also. I mean, think about this. God prayed for me. Let me see if I can find this. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Who will believe in me. That was me. You know, as I was just sitting there contemplating this scripture, I was just thinking about, you know, he said that, and yeah, you can take that as a broad term, but I'm going to take it as very specific that he was actually talking about me. You know, he knew me before I was born. He knew me from the foundations of the earth, so I think that he was really thinking about me whenever he was praying this. He said, those who will come, and it's, I think it says Josh right in there somewhere.
Yeah, right.
There's a little number. It says, it has a little number there, I think, see, I got this study Bible here, so down in the explanation, I think it says Josh somewhere down there. Anyway, all right. No, he was talking about us, and think about that. It says, those who will come, that's you, that's me. He's praying. He said, God, give them unity. Pray that they would be one, that they could move as a people, as your people, to accomplish great things. Make them one. Also, it's interesting in this scripture, he's asking God to give us. It's like this gift of unity. Now, unity can be had on the human level. You know, I can seek out to be one with a person. Like, well, I am one with my wife. And on a certain level, that can be had without God. But on another level, that's what Jesus is talking about here. He's like, give them. It's like it's the gift of unity. You know, there's this gifts of the Spirit, and I believe he's saying this is one of those things like that you can give God, because this is something that we are. It's a part, this unity, this us three being one, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is something different. This isn't something that can be had or be manufactured just by human hands. They can't be one without our help. So God, can you just give them a little piece of that gift of who you are so that they could be one? And that can't be done without his help, without him giving us that. It just doesn't happen. Christians are drawn to one another because they are drawn to a common center. And what is that center? It's just like we were singing about today, where our center is Jesus Christ. You know, I said in my message at Central West End, I was talking about, and I know I didn't make this up. I don't know if Dad kind of made this up or if he heard it somewhere else either, but like, and that's not like you made it up, but like, it's just this thought. It's this thought that it's like profound to me. It's so simple but profound. And it's just, the thought is that the Bible, everything in existence, whatever it is, if you're reading the Bible or if you're us here today, it revolves around Christ. So you go before Christ, and it's all the things leading up to him. If you go after Christ, it's all the things subsequent, those things that came after him. Christ is our center. He is who we are drawn to, and he's who we need. We need more of him, and we can become unified. We can become one in God. Amen?
Amen.
There's a man named J. Gordon Melton, and he was a Methodist minister, and I think now he's written some books and different things, but he's got an unusual hobby, or let's say thing that he's doing nowadays, and he's actually researching all the different denominations or breakouts of the different like religions and how many there are. So let me read you a little something here. It says, he's trying to count the number of major denominations in the United States. As of a few years ago, he had counted over 1,200 denominations in this country. Some of them are very interesting. Listen to this. One of them is the Church of the Kennedy Worshipers. It's a church which actually believes that they can pray to the late President John F. Kennedy and can be cured both of congenital defects as well as terminal diseases by praying to John F. Kennedy. Pretty interesting, right? I mean, how does that even happen? I mean, how do you, like, break off from something else and become Kennedy followers? Would you say Kennedyites? Yeah, you know. Then there's the Church of the Ministry of Universal Wisdom. They look for flying saucers to come, it says. Church of the Ministry of Universal Wisdom. Somehow they broke off something else and said, here, we're sitting here basically just waiting for flying saucers. Okay, number three. And then there's the Church of What's Happening Now. The Church of What's Happening Now. You know? And this is obviously just a more contemporary church, you know? I mean, contemporary, it's what's happening now. So apparently, like, every week they come back and say, all right, what's the new thing this week? And that's, let's do that or something. I have no idea. But anyway, the point is, practically every week it seems like there's a new breakout or denomination or sect or what have you. And do you think that whenever Jesus was praying back here in John 17, it says, I pray not for these alone, my disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. Yeah. And now we come so far, which is not really that far in the grand scheme of things. Even in the world, even in here, we haven't gotten that far from Christ. And already there's so many different things that we're believing, and we're not one as a church of Christ, as Christians, as believers in God. Already, we're so disunified. Is it really the kind of unity that Christ mentioned in the prayer? But I believe that if we live as one, if we can live unified, as Christ said. Of course, there's going to be different people that believe different things. I'm talking about us at this church, but then I'm also talking about churches that are like us around the city, in the state, in the world. See, it's so sad to even think that even in our city, there's churches just like us that really believe almost or probably exactly the same thing. But we're all kind of in our own little bubble, right? And what would happen if we all just did some things together? What would happen if we were all unified and did something to change? Not just the city, not just the state, not even just the United States, but the world. You know, there's something that says that, like, if every person that's in a church would actually just give that 10%, that first fruits of their income, there would be no hunger in the world. Every single person could be fed. There's so many things like that. I mean, if you think about all the people that go to church, if every one person that went to church just got one other person saved, I think we'd basically have everybody saved in like no time at all, right? That's what they call the, say it again. Exponential growth or what have you, yeah. Domino effect, whatever, I don't know. That's whatever. Anyways, but if you understand, if I can reach one person, that person reaches one person, that thing, all of a sudden, it's just unbelievable. Just the people that we have here. Anyway, if we work together as one, there's nothing that can stop us. Amen?
Amen.
Look, I already said, I am one with my wife. Now, I'm going to get into a little bit of how being one, that we need to be whole before we can come together, okay?
Good.
In marriage classes and things that Tori and I have even taken people through, and, you know, there's one thing that I'm sure, like, everybody says is, like, a marriage counselor. They're like, you know, you need to be whole people before you come together, because two halves in this case doesn't make a whole, you know? That's like, it's like the classic thing in marriage class, you know? It's like, two halves don't make a whole. Two wholes then come together and make a whole. And it's so true. But I'm saying it's the same thing here. Like, we can't come together a bunch of, like, misfits, which we really are, but we have to seek to be whole in ourselves through Christ, and then come as a whole together, as a church. You know, I can't have, you know, Sean, half of Sean all messed up, and me, half of me all messed up, and then come together, oh, yeah, we're going to be one great person, you know, this is going to work. No, I have to get my life straightened out. I have to fix those little things in me that are keeping me from doing all that God wants me to do. And he's got to do the same thing, and you've got to do the same thing. And as we come together as one body, then all of a sudden, all these people that are whole in God make up this unbelievable body. You know, it's not a bunch of little bitty pieces that aren't anything whole to themselves. See, you know, there's also that little illustration about the rope. You know, there's multiple strings coming together makes a rope, and, you know, it's the one string. My point is going to be that the one string is not a half of something. It's a whole. It's just not strong enough to hold the weight. It can do what it can do. It's like, if we're going to start with maybe like a shoestring, I can take and pick up, you know, 5-pound weight with it. You know, it's a shoestring. It's good. But it's a whole. It's made for a purpose. Okay? I can't take half of a shoestring or just like this little frayed thing that's all messed up and pick up a 5-pound weight, but as a whole shoestring, it's wonderful to pick up that little weight. But we're all coming together as little shoestrings, right? And then all of a sudden, they're braided together, and then we can do anything. That's my point. We're all little shoestrings. Isn't that unbelievable? That's so good. That's good. Unbelievable. Anyways, what do I mean by made whole? I just mean not a mess. Not a mess. Knowing who we are in Christ, being close to our Heavenly Father and spending time with him, and not coming back to church every week and thinking, oh, I got to get these things straightened out and all this stuff, because we don't have to live that way. I want to take you to Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. It says, we're going to see what Paul says about this. He says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And look, he's talking to these people that are a church. And he's saying, you guys, by now you should be doing these mature things of Christ. You should be leading and doing all these things and growing and reaching all over the world, but I'm coming back to you and kind of feeding you the little beginning things. He says, you just need to get out there and use them. You can't keep coming back and just trying to get the milk. By reason of use, it's like working out. Look, cars run great, especially if you drive them all the time. But if you don't use them all the time, the gas gets bad, the parts get rusty, all kinds of things happen. All kinds of things work better if you use them more. Working out, or even just our bodies. If I were to lay down and not move, my body would stiffen up and I wouldn't be able to function anymore at a certain point. But as I go and as I move, my body is fixing itself and putting the oils and the things where it needs to go so that I can move with purpose and smoothly, right? Not getting rusted up. So we need to keep moving toward God. And so I want to take now, there's three stages, I believe, of this process, of this thing that, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to seek after God, and we're supposed to go do what he says, okay? And as we go do what he says, that's when we can start. It's like we go from the milk to maybe the baby food, then to the cereal, then you're eating like maybe some mac and cheese and then some chicken. You know, what are these things? These are like, okay, I'm just coming to church. Then maybe I'm part of a group that gets together and studies the Bible. And then, hey, you know, maybe I can join a ministry that's actually doing something out in the community or do something that ministers somebody. And then, you know, well, maybe I could lead one of these ministries, okay? Now I'm into like the chicken. Now I'm getting here to chicken, right? And then next, I've led a ministry, and then like, well, maybe it's chicken, you know. Maybe, yeah, that's probably the right step. Chicken is the leading the ministry, and then all of a sudden, the big meat is just like, I'm just doing the ministry. It doesn't matter where I'm at. Doesn't matter what I'm doing, and it's just, this is the meat here, you know? It's like, I've got to get away from the just coming to church and not really going forward, you know?
Good job.
Eat the cereal and the chicken and the beef and stuff over there, you know? But number one, we got to start moving. This is the beginning. The beginning of it is start moving. 1 Kings 19:19. All right. Is that right? All right. So he departed from there. This is Elijah. Departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow you. Please let me. All he did was threw a little mantle, this little thing on him. I just think that's amazing. All of a sudden, he just felt this, there's like a presence, something that's God-given placed on him, and then boom. Please let me, and then it goes on to say, he's like, well, what have I done to you? I mean, what are you talking about, you know? And he goes, no, please let me go kiss my family. And you know what? He takes his, oh, I love this. He takes the thing that he was doing before and completely sacrifices it. Just, I'm not coming back. I'm following you, God. He's like, I'm moving. I feel this calling of God. I've received Christ, and I'm going to move forward. Let me go kiss my family, and I'm gone. I'm moving forward. So start moving. Number two is the middle. It's just don't give up. Don't give up. Joshua 18:1-2 says, Now the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together in Shiloh and set up a tabernacle of meeting there. And the land was subdued before them, but there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. Then Joshua said to the children of Israel, "How long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord of your God of your fathers has given you?" See, they had gone and possessed a certain part of the land. They had started going, you know, let's take it to what we're talking about here. It's somebody that, look, I've come to know Christ, and I've actually started coming to church, and I've gotten to know a few people, and you know what? I actually even kind of got down the road, and I'm just starting to do stuff. But then, you know what? I think I'm just at a great place. I'm just going to stop here. I'm going to stop here. I've actually possessed some of the stuff that God has even told me is my inheritance. I possess that. Oh, it's feeling good. But there's a whole nother part of me that hasn't possessed that thing which God has called me to. And that's what he's saying. He's like, look, we've kind of come this far, but you haven't kept going. We're just at the middle of this place. Don't look, you started moving good. We went over, and look, it took them a long time to even get across the river, right? Because they're going around desert for 40 years and all this stuff, and you know, we're not even gonna make it, these Jericho, all these different things, and like, but you know what? They got a certain place, and they're like, you know, I'm just feeling good. And the point is, you've gotten past the beginning, but you're at the middle. You know, don't stop there. Don't stop at just a few wonderful things that God's done in your life, and I'm feeling good, and actually my family is pretty stable now, and things are good. And so this is great. I'm not going to really go any further forward. The people of Israel eventually got their inheritance, the whole inheritance. And it took a while, but they got it. You know, I think of a few different stories in the Bible. I mean, think about Joseph. I mean, this guy really had to go through a long period of time to end up getting to the end, that point of where God's fullness of what he's called him to. You know, this is years and so many different things happening. But you know what? He didn't give up in the middle. Well, what would have happened? You know, what would have happened if he gave up? What did I say? Was that Daniel or Joseph? Whoa, okay. I got really mixed up. Anyway, there's so many more stories in the Bible, but those stories that you hear about in the Bible, you know, think about that. Those stories are about people that didn't give up. You know? If I'm going to give up or stop at a certain point, it may even be a good point in my walk with Christ. But there's a fullness that God wants us to get to. And really, look, sorry to say this, but it's not like retiring. You know, we're not going to work so long as a Christian, and then all of a sudden we're just going to retire and then just like go to Florida and as a Christian. You know, it's like I'm a Florida Christian. You know, it's just not going to. There's no Boca Raton, Florida Christian, Boca Raton, Florida for. You know, I'm just done. You know, I'm just kind of at a plateau of being a Christian. It just doesn't work that way. You know. I mean, I think, look, my dad here, he's not as young as me, but he's still young, you know. Yeah, he's, no, but he's not, he's about retiring age, but that doesn't mean he's going to retire, you know. Hey, no, don't take it like that. But what I'm saying is, look, he's not stopping at a certain point, okay? I'm going to move a little further. He jumped down a couple of people. And look, hey. It's my grandma, right? It's my grandma right there. Now, look, she's running around like making my head spin because she's doing so many things. And the Joys are going on trips and float trips and cruises and going somewhere in central Missouri and doing these things. And I'm like, holy cow, man. But look at that. Look at that. You know, there's no stopping. I can get to a certain point. I can be 60. I can be 70. I can be 80. And God's going to place new things before me every single day. So, the middle. Don't give up. You can start going, but don't give up. Number three, this is toward the end, but not the end. Just like I said, there's no real, like, church Florida, okay? So you're not going to just retire. So it's toward the end of my Christian life. I'm getting even stronger. I'm mature, and so many different things have happened. But look with me in Philippians 3, 12 through 14. I just love this. It's like you've got Paul, and he's this guy that, like, I mean, he wrote half the Bible practically, and he's like doing so many great things for God, right? But he says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I haven't made it. Not only have I not made it, I've done so many things, but I'm not even going to think about that. I love that. He's like, I'm not even going to think about those things. We always think, you know, oh, yeah, you know, God forgets those bad things. But no, I mean, I'm thinking as I read this, you know what? He's saying, even those good things, bad things, good things, I'm going to live my life like this is the first day. So many amazing things happened back there, and so many bad things happened back there. But you know what? This is the first day that God is giving me this new thing to do and this new passion and this new fire and a new purpose. No matter how far along I am, I'm going to live this day, this new day. I'm not going to look to the back and say, oh, look at these great things I've accomplished. Things have been good. I'm secure. I'm just going to, you know, Paul, if anybody could, he could sit back and just relax knowing that lots of great things were accomplished for Jesus Christ in his ministry, right? But he didn't. And so the point being, he said, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to look back at the good or the bad. I'm saying that. He didn't say, I'm not going to look back at the good. But that's my thing that I think that he was saying. I'm not going to look back and see things as all this great stuff that happened so that I can sit on my bottom and do nothing anymore. I'm going to say, all I'm doing is I'm looking forward to see what God has next for me. No matter where I am, no matter how long I've been going, it's always going to be a new thing tomorrow. So what's my point? Does anybody know what my point is? We're just to pursue the fullness of what God has for us. Every single day that I walk on this earth, first, I need to start, then I need to not quit, and then I need to not quit some more. I need to keep going. I need to keep pressing on, and that's it. And you know what? God's going to do miraculous things and take care of things in my life as I keep moving on and pressing on, right? Start moving. Don't give up and press on. And as we do that, look, we become whole because we're searching after him, as we're seeking him and learning who he is and not sitting back and just relaxing and saying, I got things taken care of, but I'm seeking after him. I become whole. And then me as a whole person, I can come and be a part of the body of Christ and do unbelievable things as we get together and work together and we go out and just take the world by storm, right? Yeah. Amen.
Thank you for being part of the teaching ministry of Life Church. Our hope is that you take this message and apply it to your life in a practical way. If you would like more information about this ministry and you are in the St. Louis area, call us at 314-843-5575
If you are outside the St. Louis area, call us toll-free at 1-800-610-LIFE. If you would like to write us, our address is 1416 Larkin Williams Road, Fenton, Missouri, 63026. Or visit us at our website at lifechurch-stl.com.